I definitely like Islam. I have a lot of Muslim friends. I like that they don't get pushed around. Like, you know, I like Christianity too, but the guys have let themselves get pushed around and mocked too much, and Islam doesn't do that. I think a lot of people, they have this narrative that's been spun by the media, by the Zionists, that Muslims are terrorists and all this, but in reality, you've been to those countries, the hospitality's massive, they all have big family networks, they take care of each other. You know, I've been to Islamic countries, people invite me to their home for tea.
They're so hospitable. Yeah,
so people, people online are telling me, like, oh, Muslims hate you, why are you treating this? Like, I've actually been to these countries, they don't hate me, they love me, they treat me great, so. Well, I mean, they're going to Mecca after, so if I convert, I'll go with them.
Yeah, you have to convert to go. It's funny, because he's Christian, my filmer, and, like, he couldn't even go. He was able, went to Saudi.
I would love to go to Mecca, but it's like, you know.
Oh, it's the best place in the world. It's genuinely, like, the best experience.
I support the death penalty for breaking into cars and tearing off catalytic converters, and that's not clickbait, and here's why. We had a plumber scheduled to come out because there's some massive flooding happening and we needed him to replace some pipes. He's not able to, so we had to get a water pump to pump it out, which I was able to do, but that meant that I didn't have to go to work. But since I have a laptop job, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is I remember people like my dad were at the financial margins, could not afford to miss a day of work, right? People can't afford to miss a day of work. That creates a whole load of downstream problems. How are you gonna pay your rent? How are you gonna pay your mortgage? How are you gonna buy your groceries? Let's talk about the plumber. His car was broken into, dashboard was torn up. He's gonna miss 2 or 3 days of work. He's self-employed. That means no money, 2 or 3 days. That means his bills get pushed back. Why? So some drug addict working for the cartels could steal? That's the choice we're making. That's the choice we're making. I used to think it was barbaric, the Code of Hammurabi, and you'd read about Saudi Arabia decapitating criminals, and you would think, how barbaric? And I realize now why they do it, because you either execute criminals for property crimes, which, by the way, would end the crimes overnight, because they would get the point. So we either execute them, or you just let people suffer, because what happened to me today is a minor inconvenience. Honestly, whatever. I'm not even a big deal to me in the grand scheme of things, but to the plumber, it's a big deal. The people like how I grew up, it's a big deal. To millions of people, tens of millions of people, it's a big deal. So we're making a choice, and the choice is that we're going to let everyone suffer so that people can commit crimes. And, oh, it's just a property crime. No, it isn't. It's a human rights violation because you're stealing people's ability to work. So we got to bring it back. Death penalty, no irony here, no cap. Bring it back.
What do you got there, man? Let's see what kind of pin you have there. Oh, man, you shouldn't have done that.
Now, when you cut off the hand of the thief, is it like that or is it like this?
Wallahi, akhi, I'll tell you. It's not important how to, but what's important is what people think of it.
Now, this is the thing now. You know, all jokes aside, you know, this is a very important topic that we're trying to cover. But you know what? Some people make a mockery of this beautiful way of life, the way of life that's from the creator of the heavens and earth. So we want to clear up the many misconceptions. You know, Islam is about mercy. You know, Islam is a merciful religion. But some would try to have people think that it's the antithesis, that's a barbaric way of life. And we're going to start off with explaining in context. People say, you know what? Islam is just about chopping the head, chopping the hands, and then you got chopped up meat to eat. So let's talk about this. Is that what Islam is all about, chopping people up?
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, on the contrary, God Almighty actually tells us how to prevent this from happening. By the turhibuna, meaning that inside fear into them. Why? To prevent them from fighting to start off with, to actually save the bloodshed, to actually do this, to give them options other than having to fight. And believe it or not, this is one of the options. When people think that Islam is barbaric by the cutting the hand, they only see the end result. They don't look at the all the root cause analysis, look at the prevention is better than cure method. They look at just that. But if you look deeply, you'll find out that Islam is trying to prevent this from happening by telling you, if you do this, we will do that. So it's scaring you off, don't do it. And you'll find out the case is that Islam looks at the bigger picture of the community. For example, if everyone is protected from one person, meaning the thief, it is a way of life in Islam. It says the good of all precedes the good of one. So you should be happy about this. But the idea behind it is people only look for the fish for faults or look for certain things. But under the normal human being's natural instinct that they want some things, we all have whims and desires, but we have to control it. There is checks and balances of things. If you don't have a fear of God Almighty, Okay, and if you don't have the love for God Almighty, the same idea that we tell you, if you cross the red light, we will put a, we slap you with a fine. So you, there is something there, that love and fear. You have to have that combination of both. Not just love at other people that try to preach. It's not the case. Human beings have to have both. So the same thing. You get rewarded if you don't do this, and if you do this, you will get punished. But the idea behind it is that now we're saving you know, this man from himself, not just everybody else. Same idea with the bigger context, the bigger picture, the community, which looks for in Islam is that prevention is better than cure. Don't do this, otherwise you would. And you'll see the statistics, alhamdulillah, that is much lower than anybody else. As you will see in Western society, you'll see a repetitive people you know, do certain crimes and you come back and plead insanity and come back and do it again. The taxpayers pay the same thing. And you'll see they do the same thing for the kids. They do that and they keep doing it. For not. So we say Islam says, no, stop. We have consequences to protect everyone else in the community.
So can you say this is a strong deterrent, and when this is implemented, and can we just back it up? Because we know that Islam, the way of life that was lived by Abraham, Moses, Jesus, peace be upon him, because Islam calls to surrender and submit to the creator of the heavens and earth, not a man or a monkey, but the creator of all that exists. Yeah. And a Muslim is one who does Islam. So when this complete system, God's system from the creator, the divine system is implemented, isn't it true that there wouldn't be people who were, for instance, poor, you have the zakat, there'll be justice, so you wouldn't have all these criminals out here, you know, robbing, stealing, looting. Can we back it up to that?
Absolutely. This is one way to look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put justice into this. At the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, is actually lifted this hukm. This rule was not it was actually invalid because there was not enough for people to eat. So we say there are rules and regulations. If everyone has enough for sustenance and provisions for them to feed themselves and feed their families, now you're actually going to transgress on others' rights. So we say, you know, if you see a beautiful flower, enjoy it. You want to smell it, great. But do you want to cut it? We say, no, stop. You see, that's the when we say now taking somebody else's freedom, you know, teaching you to take the easy way out, so you become a thief and so on. This is even saying that even Umar ibn Khattab went to a man, says, if you don't give that man that works for you enough money to be able to live, we will cut your hand off.
That's to the employer, to the boss.
That's correct.
You better pay him right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we have all these checks and bounds in order for you to prevent this from happening. And everything is provided for you. And if you're not having a job, the system looks after you. And after all these things that we will look after you under circumstances, you decide to go on your own, take somebody else's right and decide to go, you will pay the consequences. It's human nature.
So is this also more for the plotter, planner, the schemer, the person now who's going to break in your home and he knows that you have a diamond watch, he knows that you have a bankroll in your safe, and he puts your family in jeopardy, your children and your wife, because if you see him, now he gets the gun out of fear, he might kill you. So is this for that person that broke in your home, almost maybe possibly rape your wife, to steal your life savings? Is that the person we're talking about?
Absolutely. I mean, Islam is justice. Establish justice upon everything, including criminal offenses. For example, if we tell someone that this man that you just talked about came to your home, you know, raped your wife, you know, took your daughter away, took your money and all that, if I tell you what would you do and do this, you would cut him to pieces, you would kill him apart. He says, no, Islam is more merciful than that. We will just cut their hand. We will ask him, what hand did you cut with? And it would be this hand that we would cut according to his testimony. And of course, we understand that this specific fact that Umar ibn Khattab, again going back to him, the woman came to ask him to pardon her son because he stole, he was caught stealing. He says, wallahi, by God Almighty, it's not the first time he stole, because God Almighty will not have exposed them from the first time. So God Almighty gives you chances and chances and chances. Say if we caught early, it's preventative, as opposed to you going up on the ladder, being even worse of a thief and a criminal, and God Almighty gave you too many chances. But when you get caught, that means it's better for you. Because God Almighty says that in the Quran, we will give him a taste of punishment in this life before the taste of punishment in the hereafter, so they may come back. And if you do, it expiates your sin. If every penalty is done here in this life, as if you've done none, you're clear.
This is amazing, yeah, because that's an important point. It's a very important point. Like if somebody just stole your keys to your house or your cell phone with all your contacts, And then you ask the person right now in his rage, like, what would you do to this person if you caught him? That's a violation of your rights, something private, something that you hold valuable. That person, like you said, will want to now, you know, have his way if he was the judge. But Islam is even more merciful. We're going to take a break. And I got so many more questions to ask you about this when we come back here on The Dean Show. Sit tight.
Hay solo un Dios. Adóralo a él solo y no a su creación. I would go to my room, lock the door, prostrate and cry, saying, God, you know me better than myself. Show me the right way and I will not look back. I will leave everything behind.
Allah is our creator and he creates everything and he gives intelligence to people. Rasulullah is Muhammad, peace be upon him. Muhammad is one of the last messengers sent from God.
Back here on The Dean Show with Sheikh Ala, thank you very much for being with us here on The Dean Show.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You have a lot of experience. You're the director of the Islamic Circle Center of Canada and also public relations director for Mercy Mission. Okay. So you have a lot of experience with this, with dealing with these type of questions, and we're trying to create a better understanding with the not yet Muslims, those brothers that are brothers in humanity. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Now, tell us, just before we go on to the next misconception and putting things in context, you know, tell me what you think about this, because we know that, you know, all these rules and regulations are from the divine, and there's great wisdom behind them. Any logical person who looks at it in context, he'll see this makes sense. So the criminal, he's plotting and planning, and he's putting aside money. He sees the big heist, I'll make a million here, but he's putting like $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 away for the attorney, hoping that, you know, if I get caught, I'll beat the rap on a technicality, I'll go ahead and get probation. So do you think now, is this known that when you know that, look, this is the consequence of you breaking in someone's home, robbing a bank, that this is coming out, it's getting amputated, you're not going to do this?
Absolutely. It's, again, something called the SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative. Because this will happen if you do, then that means don't mess with me. This is because of the consequence you'll pay, because that's what God Almighty says. Imma yuhyikum. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this qasas, this retribution, the taking a penalty, this keeps you alive, keep you away of a good life. So the idea behind it is best for you, not against you. So if you think about even the sisters, when they start complaining about, you know, why cover and why wear the hijab, among the other, you know, misconception that women are oppressed and we force them to wear the hijab, and they'll tell the sister the same thing. You know, when you are young, that now you have what it takes. You're, you know, vivacious, voluptuous, and beautiful, and you have what it takes to flaunt your stuff. Now, you grow old, you don't have what it takes anymore. There's a younger sister comes in to now being testing your husband and so on. So we say the same idea. We are now protecting others from you now when you're young, but when you grow old, we're protecting you from everybody else. Same idea with the thief. We're protecting not one person, we're protecting everybody else from one. And that's the methodology of Islam, to look after the good of all as opposed to the good of one and the serene security of the community.
When God's system, Islam, total and complete submission to the one God, creator of all that exists, when his system was implemented through history, were there people now, when this was implemented, walking around with chopped off hands?
No, actually, believe it or not, these things are very rarely done.
Very rare.
Very rarely done. Actually, these things that they have to have witnesses, and the witnesses come and they don't say the same thing, they will be also flogged for this. So Islam makes these things are very strict, very tight. So not everybody else can claim that they've done things, that they have to be caught with the evidence and so on, and convicted. So all these things are checks and balances to make sure that justice is established. In the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, as a matter of fact, even though he was the head of the state at the time, the caliph, the successor, he claimed that somebody else stole something that belonged to him that was given to Prophet by Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him. We know the story, but even though he was a Jew, the system defended the rules and regulations of Islam. They say that, do you have any witnesses? And everybody knew that this was his. But they did not see the act, nor that was taken. And nobody else. He says, I have my son. He says, you taught us that the branch will not testify for the root. Do you have anybody else? He says, no. He says, this belongs to the Jew. So the Jewish man, even though he was in a Muslim state, being judged against the head of the state, and the judge was a Muslim, he says, I can't believe this. In this state, the judge rules with fairness and justice, and he became a Muslim because Islam established justice. We're not after anyone for a specific reason.
So it's not for a Snicker bar. You're hungry now, and you need someone to feed your family, and you go, you know, get some food, someone's crop, a corn, you know, some bread, some barley, and you eat, now your hands off.
Absolutely not.
That's not correct. About that.
That's not.
Okay, that's really, really deep, because when you know that this is coming off, why are you a criminal in the first place? Huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you should be living a righteous life, and this is a deterrent.
Being content with what you got.
Being content with what you got. So this is really a strong deterrent, because when you know it's coming off, you're going to stay away from hurting innocent people, and you're going to stay away from robbing banks, robbing individuals, and it's amazing. Okay, let's move on. This is a very important point, because you hear this a lot. Now, you'll also hear, and you'll see this, again, I mean, we want to reach out to the politicians, and I hope that they, the Muslims, will pass this on to the politicians so they can see what Muslims are really about, because we have qualified individuals such as yourself explaining Islam, not the car mechanic, or Peter Jing's King, or whoever else is out there that has a twisted understanding. You took years to understand, this Quran, the verbatim word of God. So when people take one verse and they'll say, kill those, for instance, who are not Muslims, the infidels or whatnot, you know, is this the same thing that someone who's a terrorist who goes kills innocent people, he'll take a verse to justify? Are they doing the same thing to create division amongst people?
Certainly one way to do it, but before we go on, I'd like to say that this poor slave of Allah is learning as we are. So thank you for your vote of confidence, but we're all learning, inshallah. First, the infidel, the word infidel itself is not really the proper translation for this. Kafir, the word kafir, that comes in different understandings, even for a peasant, like a farmer, or something that covers, meaning cover the truth, meaning the one and only God and so on. Or those who disbelieve in the message. Doesn't necessarily mean so, but the Quran addresses the Christians and Jews in a very fair way to say that, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of the book. And everybody knows when God Almighty says, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, the people of the book, are the Christian and Jews. Then kill them that, even though that they, under the word kafir, meaning disbelieve in the message of Muhammad, may peace be upon him, or the oneness of God, it's a different story, but it's not accordingly infidels. But the people, when they say that we have to kill them, because the Quran says that, and unfortunately, they use the cut-and-paste theory. But if they look before it and they look after it, you'll find out the biggest the context of the whole verse. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, أُذِنَ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُوا. It was given permission for those who were being fought, those who were being killed. أَنَّهُمْ ظُلُمُوا. They were being oppressed. So what does Islam do? It says, defend yourself. You have the right to defend yourself. So what he says, these are the ones that are being killed. Not every Tom, Dick, and Harry. And God Almighty also revealed these things with the mushriks of Quraysh, those the idol worshippers. Not for everybody. Those who were killing you, they were driving you out of your home, killing your family, stealing your land, taking your worldly possession. You have the right to defend yourself. It is not being an aggressive, you're being a defensive. So of course that these people say that because you're not a Muslim, I have to kill you. The amazing thing is that the Quran gives us a permission to marry from men, to marry from a Christian woman or a Jewish woman, according to the opinion of some of the scholars and their circumstances. Could you imagine now, my wife is a Christian or my wife is a Jewish woman. Say, I love you, honey, but I can't be your friend.
That's another one, yeah, that you can't be friends. Yeah.
Or I love you, honey, but I have to kill you.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? That is absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. So people that do cut and paste theory, they translate it according to their own whims and desires, their own hidden agendas, absolutely have no place in Islam.
No place in Islam. Is there a verse in the Quran, and can you elaborate on this, the translation of the meaning? Because we have the Quran as the verbatim word of God. It's tamper-free, tamper-proof, preserved and memorized by millions. That's another topic. That it says that God has not forbade you from showing kindness to those who have not fought you or driven you out of your lands. Talk to us about this.
Absolutely. In Surah Al-Mumtahanah, you go back and you'll find out that God Almighty says that. لَا يَنْهَاكُمْ اللَّهَ عَنَ الَّذِينَ يُخْرِجَكُمْ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي الدِّينِ وَأَخْرِجَكُمْ مِنْ دِينِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. It's a beautiful verse. The meaning of the interpretation, God Almighty forbids you not to be kind and just. And I'll have to come back to that word to explain it. For those who do not fight you in your religion and do not kick you out of your home. So let us go find out the conditions. What are the conditions? If people leave Muslims to worship God Almighty and don't kick me out of your home, of my home, I will have to be more than kind and more than just. I have to go back to the Arabic word in order for me to translate this properly. And I say, at least, if you go just on the apparent meaning of the verse, if someone tells you, listen, I'll leave you to worship God on the way you want to worship God. and I won't kick your home. Is that too much to ask? That's a minimum requirement for any human being, for their own rights. So let's go back to the Arabic text and say, find out. It says, أَنْتَ بَرُّهُمْ. The word birr in Arabic has a connotation, the relationship between the father, and the parents, and the children. And they were supposed to be extremely kind to them. And qist, the second one, is the qist, is that means higher than adl. The Arabic word is adl, meaning just and fair. But qist is actually higher. Sometimes it's mistranslated. So all we ask is that, being very simple, leave us to worship God in the way that we were so commanded to do, in the proper way, not killing the innocent and so on. I'll come back to that if there's a chance. And do not kick us out of our homes. We will treat you better than our fathers and mothers, and we'll be more than fair with you, not too much to ask.
I hope that you're getting to benefit. I surely am, and those who are sincere, who want to know the truth, you come to the right place. Sit tight for more here on The Dean Show.
And with good deeds, we'll find that good breeds good.
Clear out your mind and your heart of hatred and preconceived notions of racism and nationalism, because you cannot have anything inside of you that's like that against people and still be successful with them.
Back here on The Dean Show, and we covered the chopping of the hands. We put things in context. And it's not for a snicker par, but this is as a deterrent to keep those people who are barbaric from hurting the innocent people. Any person who has a sound mind can see that this makes sense. So tell us now, we talked about also, and continue on, where this misconception of, you know, oh, we're infidels and you're Muslims and kill us and all this, which, by the way, I mean, if you study historically, I mean, the Quran is in the Arabic. So when you translate it in English, just because it's there, the author could have made a mistake. But wasn't this true that this word, from studying, was coined actually by the Christian crusaders, who they called those Muslims infidels who weren't of the same faith. So now it's being pointed at us, and you covered that it's not the proper translation. So continue on from there. The part about killing non-Muslims, okay, and also the friendship between non-Muslims and Muslims.
Absolutely. But first, we have to say that we don't blame everyone for having the misconceptions.
Yeah.
Because we didn't maybe reach out or build bridges or educate or raise awareness. Or all they know about Islam is Allahu Akbar. You know, they watch a certain news channel or anything else. That they also have their own hidden agenda, and they don't portray the proper message out. Or they have people that mislead or misrepresent Islam to be the, you know, if it bleeds, it leads, and their own whims and desires, and having the word association with it. And that's another topic. But now, to continue on with what we're talking about today, let's go to another verse in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. I don't have enough time to go into everything, but at least, مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسِ بِغَيْرِ نَفْسِ, and so on, till the end of the verse in Arabic. I'm quoting in Arabic because that's what the Quran is. The translation, meaning of the interpretation in summary: if you kill one innocent soul, as if you killed the whole humanity. And if you save one innocent soul, as if you saved the whole humanity. But the beauty of this verse, again, going back to the Arabic text, the scholar says, مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسِ. The word is nafs, soul, spirit, human being, person. And it's not al-nafs, it doesn't have alif-lam, meaning it is not definite. It's not, he didn't say if you kill a Muslim soul. He said any soul, a Muslim, Christian, Jew, Buddhist, Hindu, agnostic, any soul that doesn't even believe in God is off limits. And that's what the scholar says, God Almighty says, any soul, as if you killed the whole humanity. That's how severe the punishment is in the sight of God. And if you save any soul, as if you saved the whole humanity. The beauty about it is that Islam also holds you accountable for a soul of an animal. The prophetic tradition is authentic. When a woman will be going to the hellfire, not eternally, of course, those who believe in one God will not eternally go to hellfire if they, of course, repent before they die, or they did not, they will pay the price and come back, just to clarify the context. Now, the hadith says that because she tied her, did not feed the cat, or let her go out to eat from the sustenance of God, then she died. So we are held accountable for the spirit or the soul of a cat. And a hadith, the prophetic tradition says, the woman or a man, both, says that they quench the thirst of a dog. They will be going to heaven for that simple fact. So don't you think if we're held accountable for a spirit, for a cat or a dog, we will not be held accountable for the spirit of a human being, because the proof is in the Quran. God Almighty says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have elevated or honored or leveled the higher in that human being above all. You see? So in that essence, we have to put the context straight. Mm-hmm. So in order for us to say that, you know what, I can kill a human being with no consequences, there is a major consequences. Even in state of war. The state of war, we don't have anything called collateral damage. Even if you kill an innocent person, while in a state of war, قتل خطأ, even by mistake, you still have to pay a ransom. There is every human being, every soul is accountable. And since we're talking on wars, I'll close with the Ten Commandments of War. And please compare the Ten Commandments of War. Again, no connotation
or no
respect.
This is in Islam now, the Ten Commandments in Islam.
Absolutely, it has no connotation for the Ten Commandments that is known. Yeah. But this is just of the etiquettes and the moral conduct of the Muslim army going to fight. And please compare these 10 with what you know about Islam from any other type of media yes. outlet. This is the commands from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his successors after him. He says when he sends an army to war to defend themselves, he says, do not kill a woman. Do not kill a child. Do not kill an old man. Do not kill an animal. Do not cut a tree down. Do not pollute their water. Do not burn their homes. Do not invade them at night. When he was asked why you should not invade them at night, he says, so you may not wake the nursing mother and child. He says, you will see those who devoted themselves to worship God in their own ways. Leave them to worship God in their own ways. That's freedom of religion. And he says, fight only those who fight you. Fight only those who fight you. So if you're coming to fight me, I fight you. If you're not coming to fight me, you're off the hook.
This, I mean, you know what? This is now being explained in context from the Muslims, from the people who know Islam. So the politicians and those who are out there, I'm sure they're getting a better understanding too, so they can go teach the rest of the people the truth about Islam, not the things that they messed up probably on, just, you know, learning from their own. And, you know, we're not going to judge their intention, but maybe they had a good intention, they just didn't know, but now they know. So tell us now, for someone else who says, and we only got a few more points, that you know what, this is when the Muslims were weak, that's why, then the Muslims later, they became strong, so the rules changed, this was abrogated. What do you got to say about that?
That is amazing, because if you go back in history, you'll find out that when Muslims were too busy defending themselves and fighting, that propagation, Islam did not flourish. Islam only flourished when was the Hudna, was the time that there was no war. Islam multiplied, it's got so many, and we'll look at the facts. The facts are that they were, when they were fighting, they were very few in numbers. And when they had the chance to actually explain Islam without fighting, without the defense or whatever, those who called people that Islam was spread by the sword couldn't be further from the truth. But Islam flourished from a few hundreds to 10,000 when they went to open and conquest Mecca to get it back. How did that happen with no fighting? And that's the truth. And look at the Indonesia. It's the biggest Muslim country in the world. There's not one sword that was lifted in Indonesia. And what sword do we have now? And we know that Islam is the largest and the fastest growing religion on the face of the earth. We don't have any swords. We don't have any the media and all that, what it takes. We simply don't force you to become a Muslim or not become a Muslim. And one of the reasons the scholar says, even if the Muslim army is victorious and they put the jizya, is a proof that the Islam gives you a choice to stay on your own religion and you simply pay taxes for your life to be protected. We don't force you. لا إكراه في الدين. No compulsion in religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, if I wish, I would have made everyone believe in me. أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهِ النَّاسِ. Will you compulse people to do it? And the Islam is very clear forward. To you, your way. To me, my way. We have relayed the message. The truth is clear. And the falsehood is also clear.
Last closing comments and suggestions. Also, I mean, just some more advice for those who are out there who they want to do the right thing, public relations people, politicians, the average person, how can they take these Quranic verses, the divine words from the Creator of the heavens and earth, so they don't mess up and take things out of context? What advice do you give for them in short before we close?
Don't use the cut and paste theory. For the simple fact is that we can do the same thing, and we certainly know that that is not the right thing to do. So as again, we welcome you to come and ask us. We actually encourage you to do so. And you will find out that we all welcome you with open arms and open hearts. So we certainly hope that this is an open invitation and extend that helping hand, an invitation for a friendship and hopefully a better understanding, because we simply feel that ignorance is our number one enemy. So since we eradicate ignorance, and people will not be afraid of what they don't know.
Thank you very much. May God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and earth, and Arabic we say Allah, reward you in abundance for being with us. Thank you very much. And thank you for sitting tight through another episode of The Deen Show. Come back every week. Visit us and learn more about Islam. You got to hear it put into context. You got to hear it from the Muslims. And that's what you should be doing. When you want to know the truth about Islam, come to us. Sit with us. Eat with us. Go to your local masjids. Go to the houses of worship. You know that Islam calls you to nothing but good, noble behavior, righteousness, developing yourself to be the best human being that you can be. And it's built on the most important fundament, that you worship none but the creator of the heavens and earth, the same God that Jesus, Moses, Abraham, Noah, they all worship the one God. And the last and final messenger, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he came with the same message. He came with the same message. That's to worship one God, do good deeds, and be the best human being that you can be. Continue to come back here to Dean Show to learn more. Until next time, peace be unto you.
We know there are many benefits to the use of black seed according to the authentic statements of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. That's why I use the black seed by Tasneem, and 50% of the profits from your order will go towards establishing the Dean Center, the Masjid and Mega Dawah Center. Use promo code The Dean Show for 15% off.